Hello, this is Shibu Cherian, and let us unite in the word today as we are traveling our third journey together. Today is April the 19th, and our Bible reading portion is from the second book of Kings, chapters 16 to 18. God commands us to repent from our sinful ways. We read in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 13 and 14 like this. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all his prophets, every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. Any nation upon this earth would ultimately be judged on basis of whether it is adhering to the righteous standards set by God or whether it is dabbling with sin. God's word is very clear on this subject that we read in Proverbs chapter 14 verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. In this context, the author of the two books of Kings took pains to explain methodically the destruction and eventual captivity of Israel as a direct consequence of neglecting the righteous standard set by God and dabbling with sin. Eventually, we should understand that this will hold true for any individual who does not repent but rather persists in his or her sinful ways. The reason for the fall of Israel and her capital city Samaria, as well as the demise of the northern kingdom, is clearly stated to be its spiritual failure in turning from the living God to worshipping idols, thus imitating their heathen neighbors. What happened among them was spiritual adultery in following after and worshipping idols. Due to the fact that Israel had become totally corrupt, starting from their top leaders down to the least person in the nation of Israel. Throughout their 300-year history, the Israelites worshipped other gods and had ignored the warnings of the prophets. Despite repeated warnings, Israel had persisted in every form of idolatry and licentious worship. They had rejected the terms of the covenant that God had made with them. As a whole, Israel had broken the statutes and commandments of God completely. In fact, the verses 7 to 23 explain the underlying reasons why God was displeased with Israel and allowed the nation to be conquered and exiled. They had feared other gods, walked in the customs of the nations, built high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images everywhere, and multiplied their idolatry. They had refused to listen to the prophets of God, but had stiffened their necks in their pride and had refused to believe in God's word. They had turned their backs on God's commandments and adopted the man-made religion of their neighbors. They were so zealous in their pursuit of evil that they had even offered up their sons and daughters to false gods. Thus, Israel had a case record of continual spiritual harlotry. However, time and again, God had sent chastisement and his prophets to bring about their repentance and restoration. To put this plainly, God had graciously sent his prophets repeatedly to warn Israel to turn from their idolatries and return to God, but they refused to respond. Instead, they had rejected his statutes and commandments and had broken his covenant with them in willful rebellion. Ultimately, God could do nothing else than bring about the threatened judgment as he had spoken to them earlier through his servant Moses. Let us never forget that God commands us to repent from our sinful ways as well. To repent means to change or renew our mind, turn away from sin, and dedicate ourselves to amend from our sinful ways. The Bible provides us with 7 principles of repentance that is listed. 1. Recognizing and admitting our sins before God, as King David did when he mentioned that in Psalms 51 verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. 2. Feeling a godly sorrow for our sins, as Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, now I rejoice that your sorrow led to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly manner. 3. Forsaking our sinful habits completely, as King Solomon wrote, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. 4. Confessing all our sins directly to God, as King David cried out to God, against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. 5. Making right any wrong that we have done in the past, as a repentant tax collector Zacchaeus declared to Jesus, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Number 6. Forgiving others who have wounded us in the past, as our Lord Jesus has taught us. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And finally, number 7. Obeying God's commandments completely. As Apostle John declares, blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Today, God commands us to repent, as we read in Acts 17 verse 30 like this. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. God's wonderful provisions of mercy and forgiveness will be available for us if we do. As we finally read the words of prophet Isaiah that he penned in chapter 55 verse number 7 like this. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon.